Are you looking to save a little cash right now? I know I am. So I have some great deals for you. Daily Harvest right now is offering $25 off your first order when you use code VEGANSBABY at checkout. They are an all-organic, all-natural meal prep service. So you get cups of beautiful smoothies and bowls and savory and sweet. And I absolutely love them. There's also some deals right now over at Vegan Cuts, and they do subscription boxes like snack boxes and beauty boxes, and even right now a quarantine box. So head over to vegancuts.com and use code VEGANSBABY to save a little money there. And if you're in the mood to shop, I actually have a whole shop on Amazon with some of my favorite products. It's amazon.com/shop/vegansbaby. Head on over, check it out, and enjoy some shopping. You're listening to The Good Fork with host Diana Edelman of Vegans Baby from Las Vegas, Nevada. Interesting conversations, interesting people. For more, head over to vegansbaby.com after the episode. Hey guys, welcome to my chat with Leslie Durso. If you guys don't know, I'm actually launching a podcast, and it is called The Good Fork, and Leslie is one of my first guests on there. I had Jessica Perlstein on the other day, and now I have the amazing Leslie Durso here. So basically, The Good Fork is a conversation about food, life, and travel with a little plant-based angle to it. So Leslie here is an amazing chef, a dear friend, and we're just going to chat today because I know we're quarantined and it's not fun. And if I'm going to get quarantined with someone, I'd probably want to be quarantined with this one because she's super fun. So hi, Leslie. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for giving me a reason to, you know, get out of my sweats in the kitchen and get in front of the computer with you.
Oh yeah, of course. No problem. So if you're not familiar with Leslie, actually, not only are you a chef, you are you an actress still? Former actress? What do we call you?
Former. For sure.
Okay.
Although I did do a movie last year, which is coming out in May. I have this tiny apartment that my friend wrote, but I have not acted in a long time.
Okay.
Except for in cooking videos.
Well, and that is we're going to talk about that. But you actually, so did not know you were a former soap opera actress. And I was telling Leslie before we went live that when I was a kid, I loved soap operas. And I actually wanted to be like an Emmy Award winning soap opera actress like Susan Lucci. I started
You're
acting.
So adorable.
Oh, my God.
I literally. Can we start crying right now?
What?
Do you want to start crying on
Girl,
TV?
I mean, I'm literally like, I cry every second on and off. So, I mean, you could be like, yeah, I mean, we can cry together if it makes you feel, if you want.
Oh, honey, I meant more of a soap opera acting situation, not in the state of the world right now.
Oh, well, I mean, cry on demand. I mean, you can cry on demand. Let's keep this like not teary though, because I'll just sympathy cry with you even if it's
no. Let's keep it happy.
Okay, cool.
Let's keep it happy.
So you were on a soap opera, and I love that. Yeah. And then you were Bill Nye's science girl.
I was Leslie the lab girl.
Leslie the lab girl
with Bill, which he's amazing. That was such a fun show, and that's what led me to get into education. It was actually Bill who was like, "You should go into food. That should be your thing because that's all you talk about."
So before that, like. Okay, do you have a background in science? Like, are you science?
No.
Okay, how much did you learn while you were on that?
I was an actor. Well, I learned a tremendous amount. I did. I mean, obviously, we were talking about science. We were doing science. And so I obviously learned a tremendous amount about that. And that I've always been a nutrition nerd. I have a bunch of doctors in my family. And so medicine and nutrition is always something that's been of a lot of interest to me. So just applying that to food was kind of the next step. I had already been vegan for a long time. I stopped eating meat when I was 7 years old. And so the idea of these superfoods and the chemistry of your body and what your body needs in order to function properly and to perform at optimal levels was so fascinating to me that I just dove right in. And it's been a life passion ever since.
So like when did you start cooking?
Well, I'm Italian, so I started cooking as soon as I could stand.
What was the first dish you ever cooked?
You know, I don't remember specifically the very first dish, but I have a lot of memories with my great-grandmother and my grandmother in the kitchen rolling out pasta sheets. Okay. And my great-grandmother putting her hands over mine on the rolling pin and rolling it out so I could feel the thickness and getting my hands in there and doing the techniques. So that is probably my first real memory of cooking, but I'm sure, I mean, there's so many dishes. There's so many dishes. My dad used to say that I was going to become a chef when I was a kid, which is funny that it came true.
Yeah.
Because I was like, no way, I'm going to be a famous actress. You're nuts. And lo and behold, like, the idea of being famous is horrible. But I used to make all of this salad art. So I would make like a big giant salad for everybody, but I would cut all the vegetables in shapes and designs and make it all beautiful. My grandma had a book on like how to carve vegetables.
Oh my, that's amazing.
So here I am like 7 years old, like carving all the vegetables, making them all pretty for the salad. So silly.
My mom used to make radishes and turn them into roses, and I would only eat the rose radishes. Like that was the only thing, but I'm like, please make rose radishes. And, you know, I don't know how to do them because Mina and I were like horrible news together. Like, I won't do it, but, you know.
It takes a little extra effort, but I have to say, if you have kids, kids find it so fascinating. They would much rather eat a rose radish than a regular radish,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally. Oh, just a quick reminder for you guys. If you have questions, drop them in the comments, and everyone that does have that question, I'll send you a discount for $25 off of Daily Harvest. And, it's my new favorite thing.
That could come in handy these days.
Right? Like, I don't cook. So, I mean, I'm starting to cook a little bit, but also I don't cook. And these just come in, like, a nice little cup, and they're fruits and veggies, and you stick them in the microwave or blend them, and boom, you're done. So, I love it. And I don't have to wait, like, however long for my Instacart, because I think I went to order Instacart, like, 2 days ago, and I couldn't get it till Sunday.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Wow.
I know, right?
I know. Everybody's so backed up. And, you know, God bless all of those people out there trying to get food to people and keep it going and keep us all healthy.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I digress. So when you were with – what was it like hanging out with Bill Nye? Because he got, like, a few years ago, like, he got super cool. Now he's, like, a badass.
Super cool. He wasn't quite as cool when we were doing our show. But he's always been cool.
Yeah.
He's seriously the coolest guy. It was always amazing to me that we would like go do man on the street stuff.
Yeah.
And super cool teenage kids would walk by and like lose their minds when they saw him. Lose their minds. And I was like, oh my God, the effect that this man has on people is so incredible.
Yeah.
And he was always so positive and so patient with all of them and talked to all of them. And everyone kept talking about how he changed their lives because he got them interested in science. And so I was like, you know what? I want to get people interested in food and healthy food.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to do.
So, okay, how did you start? So once you left Bill Nye and you're like, okay, I want to get people interested in food, like you cooked, but how did things change for you once that happened?
Yeah. So obviously there's a big difference between just being at home cook and deciding to become a chef.
Yeah.
And there was no vegan culinary school when I decided to go into this. And so I was like, well, great. Now what? So instead, I was traveling a ton, still for work. I was still doing oddball shows and doing some work with Nat Geo and history. And so I would take classes and internships all over the world with chefs and restaurants and just learn. Go to the markets. I mean, cook with grandmas in Italy and in Peru and cook with professional chefs, top chefs. And just learn as much as I could possibly learn about food and food combinations and techniques and sauces. And then I kind of mixed them all together and created my own sort of style.
So how did you get with these chefs? So would you just like go to Italy and just start like talking to people and going to restaurants and meeting chefs?
Italy is easy because every grandmother is the best chef you've ever encountered in your life. So Italy makes it really easy. But it was just friends. It was just going to restaurants, loving the food, talking to the chef, saying, hey, can I come cook with you? How'd you do this? What's this? Let me spend the day in the kitchen with you. I'll work for free. And just hustling. A few of them I found online before I got to the destination and reached out and said, your restaurant looks incredible. Can I come shadow you and and work in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just kind of a variety of different ways. But I love cooking with grandmas. I think that they have more knowledge of food than anyone, because that was kind of the last generation of people in the homes in our country. In other countries, it's still happening more. But the last generation of people really making 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, cooking all their own ingredients that they've been growing in their gardens, and really just like creating their family culture recipes. And I think that's so cool. I have a collection of all my family recipes, and it's like one of my favorite things in the entire universe.
That's so,
because so many awesome. Of the recipes aren't written down, and yeah. It's so sad. You hear about these lost recipes. It is so tragic that these recipes are dying with people. So if you have grandparents or parents that are still alive, please talk to them about food. Please ask them about their favorite dishes growing up. Try, and even if they don't have the recipe written down and they don't know how to make it, try and get the best description you can from your parents. I'll help you if you email me and say, look, these are the ingredients. This is what they called the dish. I'll try and help come up with a recipe so that it won't die, because it's so sad when those cultural things kind of pass on.
It's so true. So, okay, how many countries did you go to while you were on this path?
I mean, I'm still on that path.
Yeah.
Even now, when I go to a new country, I will meet up with chefs and do some cooking. I don't know, a lot. I don't have any idea how many countries I've been to. so bad. I bet you can name exactly how many you've been to.
No. I did the number the other week because I was just trying to, like, you know, because people be like, oh, I've been to XY countries. And I'm like, how many have I been to? And I think I don't remember the full count, but when I, like, quit my job to go, like, backpacking and travel, I did, I think – it was 15 countries in 6.5 months. And that was I maybe like a little more than double that. But
yeah, I've been to a lot. But I also have to say, I go to the same countries a lot of times. Like, you know, I work down in Mexico. So I'm in Mexico 5 or 6 times a year. I work in Italy. And so I'm in Italy a few times a year. So when I find a place, I really love going back to it if I fall in love with it. Because I think that there's this beautiful thing about creating community outside of your hometown.
Yes.
And so to go to this little city that I go to in Italy and have family there and to have super close friends and to walk into town and know everyone that owns every shop. And it's a really beautiful thing to create somewhere else in the world. And so I highly, highly encourage, even if you can't go too far, even in a neighboring town in a different state. I mean, the United States are so amazing and they're so unexplored by most Americans. I'm lucky enough that I've gotten to travel extensively through the United States, but I still keep wanting to explore. There's so many cool things.
There really are. And the thing you said about, like, you know, having like other, like, it's almost like having a home away from home, but it really puts things in perspective for you. You know, when I go back to places I know, I'm like, hey, and it's just, it's this comfort of, like, you know, you can be in a completely different world, but there's still, like, there's a piece of you in all of those places still. And I love that. It's part of, like, the beauty of being able to travel and returning to places you love.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, when you were at the beginning, when you first started, like, what was the country where you were just, like, the most, like, awestruck by the cooking?
Oh my God, so many. And it happened within a couple year period that I went to the bulk of the country.
Sure.
I mean, Italy will always have my heart, but I was really blown away by Peru specifically. Okay. I've spent quite a bit of time down there. The variety of produce down there is insane. It's the most fertile ground on earth. And so they grow everything. They grow 3,500 varieties of potatoes.
Oh my gosh.
It's the only place in the entire world that I can go to the farmer's market, stand in front of a stall, and only recognize about an eighth of what I'm looking at.
Oh, that's so
cool. It is so amazing. And so I would go to the markets and I would, like, go to the fruit stand and be like, okay, I don't need the strawberries. I don't need the blueberries. Give me one of everything else. And I would just go back to my room and I'd open them all up and taste them and try and figure out what they were and how to eat them. And I'd invite my friends over in Lima and be like, what is all of this stuff and how do you use it and what's it called? Because I didn't know what anything was called. And so I was like Google imaging, trying to figure out what these items were. And it's just so cool that we eat such a small amount of what's available in the world. There are over 25,000 edible plants out there. And we, I mean, how many do we consume? A couple dozen on the regular?
Yeah.
It's, I really hope that, I mean, maybe that's something good that will come out of this time of contemplation, is that we can have more diverse foods being grown all over the world. I mean, we're so into monocrops. Everybody's growing the corn and the soy, wheat in the United States. I mean, maybe we can mix it up. Maybe we can, you know, we don't need to grow 3,500 varieties of potatoes, but maybe we could grow 20 or 30.
So like, what's a variety of potato that you've had that we probably, like, unless we've been to Peru, we wouldn't have had?
Okay. So there's this potato. I don't know what it's called. It is literally bright neon red.
Okay.
Neon red, and it has yellow lightning strike striations. It is coolest looking potato in the entire universe. There's so many different colors of these potatoes. It's wild. I mean, purple, yellow, orange. And I don't know how they all come together. It's just, it's so cool.
What does it taste like? What's the texture?
It tastes like a potato.
Okay.
It tastes more like a roasted potato, where it's kind of like a, it's got that nice, it's not a fluffy, mushy texture inside. It's got kind of like a firm, nice roaster potato texture.
All right.
That, so Peru and also Thailand. Yes. I know you love Thailand as well. Thailand has such a special place in my heart. I guess when I went, how I went, why I went. My great aunt Rose had been to almost all the countries in the world. And she and I were very, very close. And when she passed away, right before she passed away, I was with my cousin. And we asked her, what was your favorite place you went? What was the most beautiful place you've ever experienced? And she said, the islands in Thailand were the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
And they are.
And so when she died, I looked at my cousin and we were like, we're going to Thailand. And another cousin, my sister, joined. And we just had the greatest time exploring. But the food there, I was blown away with, especially in northern Thailand, in Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai. Whew.
Man, that cow soy.
Spicy.
It's so good.
Spicy. Oh. But so amazing. And so vegan friendly. It's crazy.
Isn't it? It's ridiculous. Like, I used to always, I wasn't vegan when I lived in Thailand, but going back now as vegan, I just want to eat everything. Like, I'll get excited for like a week before the trip, just knowing I'm going to have like the best, freshest food there is, like, as soon as I land in Bangkok. Like, it's so fun.
Yeah. I would love to go back. Really love to go back. I mean,
we should go once we can travel again, because I'm going to need a vacation after all of this. Like, I'm
okay. So that's a question for you.
Yeah.
What's the first place you're going to go?
Well, depending on when, it's probably going to be New York, LA, Madrid. Would be depending on when, because I have a ticket to New York in May, because we were doing the James Beard dinner there in the middle of May, which obviously now is on hold.
I know. I'm supposed to be in New York right now.
Oh, God, I love New York. But so New York, like, even if James Beard is canceled and like the world has put itself back on whatever way we're supposed to be going, I want to go to New York because like I have such like a good energy there. Like, I just feel so like vibrant and alive. LA to go see people like you and a couple other friends, or Madrid because, in theory, I have a tour there in June. It's on hold, but also I used to live there and I went there a couple months ago, and it just like, it reminded me of like who I was then. And it's just a very nice, humbling thing to go back to like the roots of like where you used to be and going back now as the person you are. So those three are like top of my list, depending on when. Otherwise, it'll be to see my parents, because I miss them, and I want a mom and dad hug so bad right now.
I know. Isn't it the worst? I've been Skyping and FaceTiming with mine constantly, and I'm like, I just want to hug you through the phone.
Don't your arms feel weird? Like, I just feel like there's, like, this, like, empty spot, like, on my arms where it's, like, you just need to, like, hug, and I love my dog and I love my cats, but it's not a human hug, so...
I know, my poor dog. I've literally been snuggling him so much. I've just been like holding on to him for affection.
I'm the same.
I'm a total physical touch person. And so it's like, I want to hug my friends. I want to hug my family. I want to hug everybody. And I'm hugging my dog instead.
Oh yeah, I'm hugging my dog. And then like, you know, we're going to keep this totally happy, but I'm not going to lie. Like, I've ugly cried a few times. And every time I'm like, Fido comes right up and he's like, la, 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 and just has to lick my face and love me. And it is like, I got him right after Thanksgiving, and I am so glad I have him, because honestly, I don't know how I would do like by myself in my apartment every day. And I love my cats, not the same love as my dog. So
no, yeah. Like, but as much as cats are fantastic, they can never love you like a dog can love you.
No, that's like, I've never known a love like that. And everyone's like, you know, you got to love them equally. I'm like, I do, but it's just a different love. Like, this is like, he loves me and he's not going to not love me. You know, my cats are like, you know, we'll love you when we want to love you most of the time.
Exactly. Like, the cat is like it's a very, temporary affection. Yeah. Where a dog is a constant affection.
I'm so, like, he's sitting next to me right now and I keep looking over just to say hi to him. Guys, he's so good. I'm sure he'll come over at some point and like need to invade the conversation. He'll get jealous. He gets super jealous, but yeah. So those are the places I want to go. All right. So tell me, I guess I want to know more about how did you get from traveling and making recipes and cooking to where you are now? And you are a chef at Four Seasons. You lead like trips and cooking, and you have a new hand sanitizer line. Like, you're doing all these things for people out there. Like, I feel like now is a great time when you're stuck at home to go after that big idea. So, like, how did you take your idea and, like, turn it into
Leslie Russo? Yeah, well, it evolved. Yeah. It evolved for sure. I knew I wanted to become a chef, and I knew that I didn't want to work all day, every day. I love being in restaurants, but the idea of cooking the same thing every day drives me a little batty. Yeah. I have to stay creative.
Sure.
And doing new things. So I started a blog when I decided to become a chef.
What
I just thought
this?
I would kind of, you know, document the journey. And lo and behold, like, people read it. So weird. It was so weird. And so that kind of gave me a little bit to start doing, like, you know, some like endorsement stuff and just starting to make money through the food world. Because I became a chef at a time in my life where I like hit rock bottom in my personal life. And so I was trying to rebuild myself and decided I would do it in a whole new career. And so I was also really blessed. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Having a background in television was very helpful.
Sure.
So I was able to go on to a lot of the shows and come on as a food personality. I guest judged the vegan episode of Cupcake Wars on Food Network and got to do a couple other Food Network shows. And that was very helpful. Very helpful. So if you can start with a entertainment career and then move into food, I highly recommend it. But it also held me back a little bit, though, because also, like, I remember the first time I did LA Food & Wine, they were like, who is this soap actress that thinks that she can cook?
Yeah.
And it was actually Carrie Simon. Do you remember Carrie Simon?
The chef.
I mean, rest in peace. Yes. Yeah, he passed away. But Carrie was the first person that came over to me as a peer, as a professional, had my food and was like, this is really good and you're going to be really good at this. And I was like,
oh,
it meant everything to me. And so I will always, I was so sad when he passed away a few years ago, but I will never forget that moment in my life. And I always try and encourage people when I meet them because, you know, it's a hard thing to do. And especially starting over at, and I wasn't a spring chicken. I wasn't 19 years old and some hotshot chef.
Yeah.
I was, we won't say how old I was, but I was not a baby. that really meant the world to me. And then it just kept building.
Yeah.
And then I started doing boutique hotels and consulting, and I was doing recipe development for companies and creating different products for them. I've done different product lines, frozen burritos, ice creams, all sorts of different things in the food space. And then I started doing recipes for restaurants, and that led to doing a boutique hotel, which then turned into doing bigger hotels, which led to doing Four Seasons, which is just such a pleasure. I love doing the hotels. I love working with them. I think because, and you can relate to this, because as a traveler and someone that loves to travel so much, it is so hard to find basic vegan food.
That's
and
why I'm not started tours. About, like,
yes. Yeah. When you go to Thailand, great. Yes. You can go to a million vegan restaurants for lunch and dinner, but what do you have for breakfast?
That's
the hotel
hardest
has
one.
Fresh fruit. So, great. You can have fresh fruit. But what if you like having more than fresh fruit?
Yes.
And so it's so fun for me to work with the hotels to be able to create a whole story. And I do the plant-based cuisine, but I also do a lot of the other dietary restrictions. So I focus on nut-free and gluten-free and all of those things, not necessarily all at the same time. But to do things like to be able to create peanut-free kitchens on properties so that kids with peanut-free allergies can come on vacation, sometimes for the first times in their lives, because they know that they're going to be safe to eat at that property. So it's really cool, and I really love it. And you also forget how many lactose intolerant children there are in the world.
Yeah.
And like me growing up, I like sorbet, but if I eat one more sorbet dessert, I might just explode.
It's so boring. I might die.
It's like, not the end all be all answer to everything. And if I don't like eating it, I'm telling you right now, like, kids don't want to eat that for dessert all the time.
I want cake.
I was actually just speaking at the Forbes Luxury Travel Guide right before this all came to a halt, all this travel, which was so ironic that I just posted on my Instagram less than a month ago. I'm on stage with Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and we're talking about how to stay healthy while you travel. And then all of a sudden the world comes to a halt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so important that people in this day and age can be able to travel the way that they want to travel and the places that they want to go and be able to get the kind of food that they want to have.
Yeah. So reminder, if you're just tuning in, drop a question. And when you drop the question, I'm going to give you $25 off to Daily Harvest. So there's that. If anyone has questions, I have a million for you. So what have you noticed has been like the biggest challenge going to these hotels and like either, you know, sharing with them and saying, hey, like, this is what's going on. These are the demands that aren't being met. You know, I can help you meet them. Like, what kind of, have you had resistance? Like, what do these hotels say to you? Or are they typically approaching you because they've realized?
Some have a lot of resistance, but some are more open. It usually takes a champion. I know, I have to say, probably my favorite chef in the entire world to work with is Chef Jorge Garcia. Jorge Gonzalez down in Punta Mita, Mexico. Mm-hmm. He's lactose intolerant. And so he himself is desperate and in need of dairy-free options.
Yeah.
And so to be able to teach like different techniques, because that's really what it is.
Yeah.
It's just a different mindset of cooking. And once you get into that, it can be so easy. So, you know, a lot of chefs say, oh, I can make a vegan dish, but they're really just like grilling vegetables and putting them on a plate.
Yeah.
And so once they realize that I can teach a whole nother theory on how to compose a dish and a plate and how to really make it something special and not just a side dish that's a little bit bigger. Then it's cooking and then we have fun. And I love collaborations. And I think that's one of the things that makes me successful in working with these places. It is not a dictatorship. I do not walk in and say, here's the recipe, cook it exactly like this. Yeah. That's all there is to it. I come in with all of the techniques. I come in with a zillion of my recipes and ideas, and we work on them together.
Yeah. Have you noticed, like, has it ever happened to you where you've gone into a property and there's been pushback from, like, the chef there?
Not once I'm hired, because I'm hired by your bosses.
Yeah, I guess they really can't then, can they? Yes. Okay, we'll do it. We'll work with you. Yeah, I guess there's no choice in that matter.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there's a little skepticism until I start cooking. And then they're like, oh, this is new. This is different. And look, chefs love learning. They love learning techniques and new ingredients and new ways of making things. So if I have something to offer, then they're excited. If I show them how to, you know, put a piece of grilled tofu on a plate, they're not interested.
Yeah, I can do that. And I am like the furthest thing from culinarily anything. Like, Kat's on this call, she can attest, like, no, I'm real bad. Like, I'm just terrible. So
I don't believe that you're that.
I did an Instagram the other day where I tried to make pancakes and I went to flip it and it broke into pieces, so it looked like scrambled eggs. So no, I'm not good.
I think you should come on one of my cooking retreats.
I would love
once to. They're up and running again.
Yeah, once everything goes back to normal. I would love, you know, I love to travel anyway, and I do want to learn how to cook. I need someone to, like, explain everything to me like I'm in kindergarten.
Well, that's what we do. And that's it. I mean, when I take my groups to Italy, the house that we get has a giant organic farm attached to it. And so we're going into the farm, we're picking things from the ground. I'm teaching you about growing them and using them and how to use them and how to prepare them. We're going to the farmer's market and getting the freshest things that, you know, are their offer. And it's all hands-on, super technique.
Well, I'm down. Sure. I mean,
because I think that might be one of the first places I want to go after all Italy? This is back to Italy, because I think they're going to need help more than any country in the world to get back on their feet.
Yeah.
As a country that relies solely on their tourism, it breaks my heart to talk to my friends there and to hear what's happening. And they're all, you know, I don't know what they're going to do, honestly. I mean, if Italy doesn't have a tourism summer, I'm so worried about that.
I mean, that's, you know, Spain too, like Madrid, I mean, all of it. It's just those countries that are locked down and shut down. It's just heartbreaking because I think people are going to be scared to go back. But truly, you know, I can't wait to get on an airplane and go anywhere, you know, and just support another place. I'm super excited. So how are you dealing with all of this world we're in right now? Like, I've noticed you've been cooking a lot, and I actually like took a screenshot of your mac and cheese because I'm gonna make it. I haven't yet. But so I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, as somebody who's on a plane almost every week, it's really bizarre to be home, but it's also really amazing. I love my place, and so to spend time here has been so lovely. And I'm in the kitchen, and I'm doing a lot more. If you follow along, there'll be some fun projects coming up, because not only am I going to do more cooking videos on my Instagram, I'm going to do cooking videos on some other fun people's Instagrams too. So
if you want to come do one on mine, do you want to come do one on mine? Because you can.
I have quite a few.
I feel like you could help me a little bit.
Definitely. You know what we can do? You know what we should do? You should take a picture of your refrigerator for me, and I will come up with a recipe that we can make, and we can go live, and I'll walk you through making the dish. How about that?
I love that. It's got to be super easy, though. Like, real easy and not a lot of knife skills. Knives terrify me. Okay, cool.
All the stuff that I do online is all really easy. Like, that mac and cheese recipe that you saw. I mean, that's not the mac and cheese recipe that I put in the Four Seasons, but that's the mac and cheese recipe that I'm telling you. You can make it home right now with the ingredients in your cabinet.
Yeah.
You don't have to go out to the store and get anything too fancy. You should have those things in your house already.
I just actually ordered
from Sprouts. As easy as possible.
Yeah, like really. Like I ordered from Sprouts just now because we did a wine chat last night. Like I launched this thing called Quarantwine. And it's 5:30 every Wednesday. Just a bunch of us get on and drink wine and talk. And one of the girls on the chat was making these little like peanut butter protein balls. And I'm like, how do you make that? And so she sent me the recipe. I'm like, oh, I can totally do that. So I just ordered some stuff from Sprouts so I could do it. And, you know, just have – I'm so bored of my food. I made stromboli last night, which was amazing. But I didn't make it. Like, literally, my friend Vince from Good Pie gave me all the ingredients and told me what to do. And I just went – like, assembled it and put it in the oven. And my smoke alarm went off, like, 3 times. And I'm like, I don't even know why.
Is your oven dirty?
I don't – it can't be. I've literally cooked, like, one thing in my oven my entire 4.5 years living here. No. And I'm on the phone with my friend Jess, who's one of my chefs from James Beard. And she's like, why is your thing going off? I'm like, I don't know. And she asked, she's like, what's burning? I'm like, nothing's burning. I don't understand. So it was can we do something that doesn't involve an oven?
Yeah. Okay, we'll do something stovetop.
Okay. I'll show you my pots and pans, too, because you might not. It's bad. It doesn't matter. Okay.
It's your kitchen.
Okay.
Look, I'm telling you, I can cook anywhere with anything.
Okay.
I've cooked in third world countries, in townships, over an open fire. I've cooked so many bizarre, crazy places. You don't have to have anything fancy in order to make something that tastes good.
Okay. Then we'll do that. Speaking of like bizarre and everything, what's like the most, like what's the dish like you are just the proudest of, like the most creative thing you've ever made where you're like, damn, that's a cool dish.
You'll have to come to the Four Seasons and tell me.
Okay, that's not fair because I can't go anywhere right now. Okay.
That's a really good question. It's a really good question, and I actually am not entirely sure that I know the answer to it, because I'm coming up with and creating new things almost every day, or I try to.
Fair.
It's been a little challenging to find inspiration during this time. But I am hoping that it will come within the next couple of days, and I'm going to get really creative. Geez, there's so many dishes that are kind of classic dishes that I've loved doing.
How about this? What's your favorite ingredient to use?
Ooh, tomatoes. They're okay. So versatile. You can do so many things with them.
So we've got... Okay, next time you come to town, I'm going to take you to a restaurant called EDO. And they're like a Spanish tapas. They have Oscar Amador was one of the chefs that came with me to the first time in New York for James Beard. And their tasting menu, their vegan tasting menu, is phenomenal. And they have their dessert. It's nixtamalized tomatoes. Did I say that right?
Yum.
So
no, but I love you.
How do you say it? Next to
tomatoes are fantastic as a dessert. They're fantastic savory, they're fantastic sweet, they're fantastic raw, they're fantastic cooked, stewed, dehydrated, sous vide. There's so many things that you can do with tomatoes.
I do love me some tomatoes. Okay, so we're gonna, when you can come back to Vegas, we're gonna go there and we're gonna eat all their good food. I literally, like, whenever you come here, I get to see you for like just a hot second. But I want to take you like everywhere in this city.
I'm always running in and out of town in Vegas. We went to a great place though last time I was there in February.
Truth and Tonic, yeah, it's the city's first vegan restaurant on the strip.
Yeah, that place was really, really good. I give mad props to the chef there.
Yeah, he's incredible, and he's super into health and wellness. So, like, you know, 99% of the stuff there, it's all super just pure, you know, I think he's got just egg and then maybe a mock meat. But other than that, like, it's all just all.
Yeah, it was very clean.
Beautiful. You can see the ingredients, which I love that.
Yeah, me too.
So in your travels.
Vegetables and fruits are so beautiful. When you can just let them sing on the plate, it's so much better. And it's, you just feel like your soul is being fed health and yes. Feel like you're being nourished.
Exactly. That's the best word. Nourished is a great word for it. And I'm waiting. Like, Vegas hasn't hit that point yet with our vegan restaurants where it's all of that. Like, we've got a few that have a few dishes, but like that, you know, those restaurants that it's all just beautiful, nourishing food and like a really like nourishing like location. It's just, I am craving for that in Vegas so badly. Like, just that place where you can go every day. Well, okay, not every day, but
Hoteliers, let me know if you want to do a vegan restaurant in Vegas. I'm ready.
Oh my gosh, girl, you know I would love that if you came here more.
I would love to do a restaurant in Vegas. There aren't very many places that I would do a brick and mortar restaurant. Yeah. I would totally do a restaurant in Vegas.
I hope someone's listening to that. That can make that decision and help us, please. That would be amazing.
I hope so.
It would be so. Oh.
Catherine agrees. Oh, hi. I just saw all these comments on the side. By the
way. Yeah. So if anyone has questions, ask. Your hand sanitizer. I just looked one day. I'm like, oh, Leslie's making hand sanitizer. What? I mean, obviously, I'm guessing.
Hand sanitizer. Because I felt helpless. When this all came to a grinding halt, I said, all right, well, let me teach people how to make their own homemade hand sanitizer. Yeah. I did a video and then people were like, can I just buy it from you?
Sure.
So I was like, yeah, sure. So now I'm sending out hundreds of packages. So if you would like hand sanitizer, I have plenty. It is top ingredients, all really good. I'm using fresh aloe vera leaves and essential oils and 99% alcohol, which is the most important thing, obviously, which is so hard to get. I feel so lucky that I had a dealer. I had a special alcohol dealer that got me.
Right.
So, you know, got me like 30 gallons of alcohol. Oh, so if you guys want some hand sanitizer,
how much
it's
do
on
you
my
have?
Instagram.
Do you have a lot left? Like, do you have enough product left to keep making it?
Yeah. No, I have plenty of product left.
Okay.
So get it.
I have like,
just because, I mean, I feel like I'm at least contributing and I'm being productive.
Yeah.
I can't cook for everybody on earth and ship it all over the place. But I can make hand sanitizer and ship it, and it's kind of cooking.
Could you ship food?
Although I thought long and hard about doing cookies and shipping cookies.
Oh my god!
People.
Please do cookies and ship them. I like peanut butter.
The problem is it's hard. They're hard to ship, and I'm worried that they would just come in like one giant congealed ball if I don't individually wrap them, and then I'm using so much plastic.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel like if I got a shipment of cookies and it was one big giant ball, I wouldn't care. I just want cookies. Like, Just feed me cookies, please.
Oh, well, I mean, I would love to do it. I would logistically have to figure out how to do it. Because I do, I mean, I feel for all of those people that don't really cook. And like you said, you're getting epically bored because your repertoire is not that big when it comes to recipes. And so I would love to be able to feed everybody. Yeah. I don't think I can feed everybody at the moment, but it would logistically it's rather difficult. Yeah. But it's why I love doing these videos online and you know, maybe teaching somebody something new and something they didn't know before, and hopefully, you know, having a little fun. We did I did an Instagram live last weekend. I made homemade pasta with a puttanesca sauce.
Oh, my God.
It went really, really well. And so many people made it. It was so fun to see everybody's pictures. They were all so sweet to send it to me. And, yeah, it was really cool and a nice community building thing. Yeah. So I'm going to be doing lives on the regular now with these cooking classes. I'm going to try and send out that. Last weekend, I sent out the ingredient list, like, not with enough time for a lot of people to get it together. So I'm going to try and do it a couple days ahead of time this time.
Yeah. Just go on.
Plan. So if there's a recipe that you want to learn too, please let me know. Comment here or you, if you have anything that you want to learn, babe.
I'm like, I want to learn everything. So I went to Whole Foods last week and my friend was talking about making bread and I'm like, I'm going to make bread. So I went and I bought like 6 packets of yeast and I'm like, okay, I'm going to make bread. And my friend sent me a recipe and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to make bread. Like, no.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I want, like, I just want to
see. Bread is an art form. Ugh. Bread is an art form.
Yeah, I'm not the
person.
I mean,
you can make it. You can mix together flour, water, and yeast and put it in your oven, and you will get a bread-like substance.
That's what I want, then.
But you're not going to get what you're looking for just doing it like that. You got to make, you know, Nancy Silverson is one of my culinary icons. And, I mean, if you watch any of her bios, I mean, she's the queen of bread. She's the queen of bread. And she talks about making, you know, 500 versions of a loaf before getting the right one.
Oh, my gosh. So I don't think I have patience.
That is probably not the one for you to start with.
No, and I don't have patience to let yeast rise, I don't think, either. Like, I want instant gratification food more than anything else, I think. Like,
but okay, so really fast recipes.
Well, or just not complicated. Like, I don't want to have to wait 8 hours for my bread to rise to bake it.
Okay.
I'm with like an hour, you know? I mean, I have how many hours of the day now where I'm, you know, if I'm not like doing stuff like this or like doing vegan baby stuff, I got nothing. So I'm down to like cook stuff. But, oh, and also not a lot of knife skills because I can't. I'm real bad at it. So.
Okay. So. We'll make it simple. But, yeah. Well, tell me your favorite foods, and I'll teach you how to cook them.
Pizza.
You just said you didn't want something that rises and that takes time.
I know, but it's good. Oh, Kat says she'll definitely watch a live stream of me and you cooking.
Bless. Oh, good. So, well, it sounds like it's going to happen. So,
I mean,
and now, I mean, we just, in LA, we just found out we're locked down until at least May. So
what? No.
We got a lot of cooking to do, my dear.
Oh, my God. I don't know how I feel about that. Oh.
Yeah, it means that your city's coming next.
Oh, I mean, honestly, like, I just want, at this point, I just want to know, like, what I need to mentally prepare myself for. Because I feel like we're in this weird state of, like, okay, well, the casinos are shut through April 15th, I think. But now they're accepting reservations starting on the 17th. And I'm just like, I don't think that's happening. But just having some sort of, like, well, Diana, you're in this for the next 6 weeks. Like, I just want someone to, like, sit down and tell me really nicely, like, hey, guess what? You're home through May 1st, you know? And at least I have that I can, like, prepare for it. So I'm really glad you at least know that.
Well, I mean, it's not a definite date. And I think that's the thing that I think most people that I'm talking to are having the hardest time with all of this, is that there doesn't seem to really be a plan.
No. No.
The plan is stay home and don't do anything, which is not really a plan.
No.
So I think there are a lot of people, including myself, who are regimented people who have their calendars scheduled out to the minute that are like, you got to give me something more so that I can work off this. Because again, like, you know, all of my projects, when are they starting? When I have all of them prepped out, ready to go. Yeah. I have so many projects this year.
And
that I'm so excited about. I think I shared some with you. I can't share them publicly, unfortunately, yet. But I'm ready to go.
Yes.
I was like, I got all my toolkits. I got my binders. Right? I got my syllabus is ready. I'm just like ready to go.
Nope. You're going to have to just pause indefinitely. Like I can't with the indefinite, like,
yeah.
And now, you
it's
know,
hard. It's real hard. And, it's going to get hard for a lot of people financially. This is a really scary time. Yeah. So again, if I can teach people how to make some food from some simple ingredients that can last them a long time,
hopefully that
will be helpful.
You know, I'm taking you up on that. Like as soon as we're off of this, like,
I'm telling you, you can walk your refrigerator right now. Oh my God. And I will tell you how to make something.
Well, I'm not walking to my refrigerator. No, I'm not doing it when people can see me, just me and you. Just me and you.
No, I think the whole point is I think other people want to see this because you're not the only one.
Yeah.
That's what you have to remember is that you're not the only one with a refrigerator that looks like your refrigerator.
Yeah. And actually, like when I think about it, my refrigerator really isn't that bad. Like I've got chocolate hummus. I've got tangerines. I've got a plum.
That sounds delicious together right there.
See,
Do you dip the tangerines in the chocolate hummus? Because that sounds amazing.
No, I haven't done that. I just do strawberries, which are coming from Sprouts any second now. What else do I have?
No need. You got your tangerines.
I have kimchi. I have pickles.
Okay.
I have I forgot to order more plant-based milk. Well, I have a little bit of plant-based milk left.
Well, do you have any nuts in your house?
Well, you want me to make nut milk?
Yeah. It's so easy.
Okay, I don't have a cheesecloth.
You don't need one.
Okay, well then you're going to teach me how to make
it. You have a blender?
I have a Nutribullet.
Yeah, that's a little harder than a Nutribullet.
Also, when I went to get my bread the other day, I was talking to my friend, and she's like, well, do you have a KitchenAid? I'm like, I have a Nutribullet. And she's like, do you have a dough hook? I'm like, what? No.
No.
Like, I did not prepare.
You're not making dough in a Nutribullet.
No. And then I was like, well, I'll just get
the You make a bowl of dough like this thing.
That's not going to make me happy at all.
You could probably make nut milk in a Nutribullet. And okay. I'm sure there are people on here that can tell you that I don't have one, but I bet you anything you can. You just need to boil the nuts so that they're softer and okay. Then throw them in there with some water and milk.
Oh yeah, you're going to teach me how to do that because I have all my daily harvest meals that require milk. And now I totally forgot. I ordered Ben & Jerry's because I need my I don't know about
which flavor.
This is peanut butter and crunch.
The one with the Oreo cookies and the peanut butter?
Yes.
That's my favorite one of theirs. That's my favorite one of theirs.
I was never
into Ben & Jerry's. I'm also a big Nana Moo fan.
Oh, okay. Yes. So I normally have Ben & Jerry's, but then, I'm sorry, I normally have Nana Moo, but they were out the other week. So I ordered the peanut butter crunch. It's like life changing, but Nana Moo is
it's pretty insane.
Nana Moo is my favorite. Like I tell everybody, like have Nana Moo. If you've never had vegan ice cream, like go for the Nana Moo. My favorite is the mint chocolate chip because that's legit. And
dude, that's my favorite too.
Right?
The mint chocolate chip is insane.
What about the marshmallow one? The sweet potato marshmallow one.
I like the marshmallow one. I also I just tried the strawberry cheesecake.
Yeah.
Because I had tried it before and they had it at Sprouts. By the way, we're plugging Sprouts all over the place. I love Sprouts. so they had it, and it's their one of their newer flavors,
yeah.
And it was real good.
Okay.
It's nice and light and refreshing.
Okay.
Like you're hardly eating dessert.
I mean, my mom's like, Diana, don't eat a lot of it. I'm like, Mom, a pint of it's only like 500 calories. It's fine. And she's like, are you sure that's right? I'm like, yes, but no.
That's not right, babe.
It's not. I mean, I don't sit down and eat a pint yet.
No, because I think the serving size on the Ben & Jerry's, which is a joke, I think the quart size, the little size, I think that's 4 servings.
Oh, well, Ben & Jerry's, the calories are much, much more.
It might
more.
Be 6 servings.
No, because I thought the – I'm going to have
I was
to
like,
look.
Who splits that much ice cream with 6 people?
No, a pint is like a 1 person, maybe 2. Like, I'll just sit there and watch Netflix.
Person.
Yeah, but like, I just live by myself, so – I'll sit there and just like have like 4 or 5 spoons of it while I'm watching Netflix and put it away.
Oh yeah. I am good at that. I am good at the 1 scoop ice cream where that's what I think. You're allowed to have 1 spoon. So I make it like the most amazing spoon with all the stuff. Like you have to make sure you're getting everything in that bite so that you can just get that one.
So it's like the tablespoon, the heaping tablespoon.
Yeah.
I mean, I do that with peanut butter. I'm like, this is 1 tablespoon. Cool. And no, it's probably like 5. Pile it onto 1.
I'm an apple and peanut butter fanatic. That's what I've been having for lunch almost every day. I got all these beautiful apples, and I'm having apples. And I do Nutso. Do you like the Nutso peanut butter?
I don't know what Nutso
is. It's not peanut butter. There's no peanuts in it. It's a bunch of variety of nuts and flax seeds and chia seeds, and it's really good.
No, but I'm going to order it next time I go to I go to order food, because now I'm, like, really staying home. Like, I'm like, okay, you know, I was going out a little and, like, doing social distancing and, like, interviewing chefs, but now I'm like, no, we can do this on video. Like, it's okay. I don't.
It's time to stay home.
Yeah, like, I feel okay staying home. I mean, I was talking to my friend today, and she's like, well, we work from home anyway. I'm like, yeah, it's basically, like, nothing has changed except for we're not allowed to leave. Like, I'm home all the time, but now it's like, no, you don't have a choice. You are home, you know?
I'm never home.
Oh.
Even when I'm home. I mean, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm on the beach. I'm working out on the beach. I'm in restaurants. I'm at markets. Yeah. I'm cooking other people's houses. I'm like, I'm always doing something. So it is weird. It feels real weird to be here.
So other than cooking and, like, hand sanitizer, what are you doing to stay, like, sane?
Well, I'm making a 3,000 piece puzzle.
That's amazing.
That's a scene, an African scene, because I was in Africa in January, and I'm so sad that I probably won't be able to. I mean, I'm scheduled to go back there in November. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go there now.
I'm going to say yes, because we need to have something to look forward to. So I think you're going to go back in November.
I just don't think that I can go because I'm going to be doing other projects. That's a vacation. And yes. I think all of my projects are going to push into the fall. That's what I am visualizing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Crossing my fingers and visualizing that all of my projects are happening in the fall. So I don't know if I'll have time to go.
That's fair. That's your trip to South, or your trip, like, really inspired me to go. You and then my friend Jody went right around the same time. And I'm like,
yes, I know. We were messaging. I can't believe we missed it. We, like, have been following each other around the globe for so long.
Right.
I finally met her. I finally caught up with her in New York, but we had followed each other forever before we actually met each other because we were never in the same city at the same time. But in random places like South Africa, she was passing in the night, barely missing each other.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy I got to connect with her. I'm very excited about everything that's happening at Live Kindly and all that she is accomplishing is very, very exciting.
Yeah. I was in New York when she was there, and I'm like, Jody! But, of, like, literally, again, passing in the night, like, I was leaving at 3 o'clock that afternoon, and I'm like, I'm so bummed. So my trip to L.A. was going to be to see, like, you and her and then another friend of mine, and now I'm like, oh, I'm not going anywhere.
No.
FaceTime wine dates, baby.
You can drive out here and wave to us.
I mean, can we even get into the city?
I have a balcony. You can come by, and I'll just talk to you from my balcony.
5-hour drive, no problem. Hi!
What else are you doing?
I know, right? That's true. Fair. Oh God, can you imagine if I did that? I mean, I'm not against it. I just want, like, I need nature, and I mean, we have nature here, but, like, I need water really badly.
Yeah, I know. I'm very blessed to live on the water. Very blessed.
Yeah, it's just amazing. So, I mean, maybe I will. Who knows? I wouldn't put it past me. Well, yeah. Give it a let me see where Vegas is in, like, a week. So, you know, our mayor wants to open, like, tomorrow, which, I mean, it's not
probably not a good idea.
No, I'm just like, really? Our governor said wait a month, but she's like, 15 days is all we need. And I get it for the businesses because I'm a business, and without these businesses open, I'm not open. But also, I like staying healthy. And I like people. I love staying healthy.
And I mean, if the hotels reopen, do they have people staying in them? Do they have the tourists coming?
I think everyone's pretty much canceled for the month.
I feel like all the conventions have been postponed. And I mean, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I'm really hoping that it's like a giant slingshot so that as soon as we're all ready to do something, we all just attack the world.
Oh, that, I mean, I honestly can't wait for that day because everything was just, like, happening and going. And so I'm really looking forward to, like, the pause button being, like, unpaused so we can just continue with our lives as we were, smarter, cleaner, and a little more grateful, I think, because if there's one thing I've learned, like, in the past week is how grateful I am and how much more connected I am with my friends now. Because, you know, like 2 weeks ago, it's like, oh, if you want to see me, we've got to schedule something on my calendar 2 weeks out. And now it's like, what are you doing? You want to have a glass of wine and FaceTime? Yep. Okay.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
I hope that continues.
I do
because
too.
I'm having so much fun FaceTiming with all my friends instead of just texting with them or, you know, in between something.
Yeah.
Like really sitting down and FaceTiming and having just that connection is so great.
It's
and I really love going outside and breathing the air in Los Angeles. Whoa. It is so clean.
It's got to be so clean right now.
It's so clean. Oh. It's so nice. The sky is like a color blue that I've never seen it before. It's just so clear without any airplanes and without any cars.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I could see the stars.
I actually had to drive across town the other day and there was nobody on the road at all.
Oh, Vegas, there's still people.
I'm on the freeway and there was nobody on the
freeway. That's got to be wild. Which one were you on?
I was crossing the 405 and the 405 had no traffic either direction.
That's creepy.
When has the 405 ever not have any traffic?
No, I mean, it's like The Walking Dead where it's like the cities are there, but like, that's it. Like there's nobody there. It's like Vegas, the strip.
Well, it's not like The Walking Dead yet.
Well,
like,
no, we're not zombies. No.
You know, the zombie apocalypse.
No. I don't want a zombie apocalypse because it would be terrible. But it just the whole idea though of like how life is still right in front of you, but it's not there anymore. It's a weird like feeling to have. And like going down the strip, like I've never seen the strip like this. Like there's barricades, there's police, there's locks on the doors, but then you have like billboards for the Mayfair. Like next to the hotel, and it's just like, whoa, it's just so weird. Like
it is weird, and it's weird seeing all the shops closed and the restaurants closed. And I have to say, I mean, I just can't stress this enough that I just pray that everybody just goes out to support those businesses when they come back because they're going to need it so much. I mean, as great as the big box stores are now, and being able to get us everything that we need. We really need to support those mom and pop shops when they're able to reopen.
100%. You know, so many of my friends are in the culinary industry and just to see them like having to close. And we're talking like some of the most talented chefs in the city, like are just shuttered. And it's like, I can't wait for them to be open. I can't wait to have money and to be like, I'm going out and I'm buying myself a really nice meal and I'm giving like, and I'm sitting at your restaurant to do it. So, I think like what's your first meal going to be when you can leave?
That's a good question. I don't know. But I don't eat out in Los Angeles that much because when I'm here, I'm usually developing stuff in my house.
Okay.
And I always feel bad because people are like, what's your favorite restaurant in LA? And I'm like, I haven't been to all of the restaurants in LA. Because I could tell you my favorite restaurants in all the other cities in the world that I'm at all the time. Because I'm eating out all there, here it's so much tougher. So I don't know. Well, it's why I made like a mushroom broth udon noodle dish the other day, which the recipe is on my Instagram if you want it, because I'm kind of craving Asian food. I'm craving ramen and I'm craving sushi and I don't have all my sushi stuff at my house, so I don't have everything to make it myself and that's kind of annoying. But yeah, I don't know why I keep craving Asian food. I keep making like curries and...
Oh, I want Indian. Oh, I want gobi Manchurian.
Well, Indian because I've been trying to go to the smaller markets to support them too. And so I went to the little Indian market, I went to the Mexican markets and just the little Italian market, just trying to support the smaller markets and make sure that, because you know, also that's kind of a secret. They're pretty well stocked.
Yeah, they have stuff for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we've been talking for an hour.
Have we really?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, this is the thing about you and me. We can just talk forever. I can't wait to do this cooking live thing with you.
Yeah, we're going to do that. But I'm going to close out now and then stay on so we can finish our conversation. If anyone has any questions, speak now. And yes, I can make oat milk as well, Kat. I did say
that. Yeah, Kat. Totally. Make oatmeal. You can totally make oat milk in your NutriBullet. That will work.
Okay, then I'll do that. That'll be one of you will tell me how to do that. Thank you, Leslie, for being a guest. I appreciate
it. My pleasure.
I love you. I'm so excited to see, once we're done with all of this, like what the next year holds for you. I'm super excited. I can't wait to come to Four Seasons.
I can't wait to see what happens with you.
Thank you so much for being on. And tune in next time, guys. Have a good one. Be safe. Be well. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
I think
that's over. Is it broadcast ended?
Okay, cool. Okay, hold on. Oh, I just deleted that. I shouldn't have. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I love you. I mean, now I kind of do want to have a glass of wine, but then I'm just going to get day drunk.
I know. I kind of do too.
Should we have one?
No, because I'm okay. One first world problems.
Yeah.
I've like drank most of my inexpensive wines, and now I'm getting into the really good stuff.
I've got a wine delivery coming from Vegan Wines in like at some point today. So I've got like 3.5 bottles of shitty wine left, but I'm gonna keep ordering the shitty wine too.
I'm like, I don't know if today's the day.
For more on this show and other Good Fork podcasts, head over to vegansbaby.com. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.